Bible. Psalm 1, the two ways. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and the leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, shine the light of your word into the nooks and crannies of our lives. And Father, may we let our light shine, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we learn from you through your scripture. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This amazing group of 24 kids, we asked several of them if they would help write my sermon for today. And several of them took up the offer. And I don't know that I've received emails from 10-year-olds before, but I received some from the parents, but actually received some from the kids. Just want to read a few. Sunday school gave me the opportunity to learn the Bible, the stories and key verses. It makes me think about mortality and life after death and how to get into the kingdom of God. I also enjoy the people in Sunday school. I would like to thank who taught me a lot about Jesus. I am excited about the youth group, although I know nothing about it. I will continue to learn more about the Bible and pray often. This young woman thanks the teachers, and then she says, "They have given me a lot of guidance and helped me to grow in my Christian faith, leading me to trust in God. I plan to follow their footsteps and become a Sunday school teacher because of their encouragement and all the ways they made Sunday school so fun, interesting, and exciting." At which point I said, "Now that's not the Sunday school I used to go to. I'm Jacqueline and teachers, thank you. We've certainly got an upgrade from what I was used to. I know that being a teacher," now listen to this, "requires a lot of grit and determination. Both of them have helped me to gain through their love and patience with me, as well as through all the Sunday school lessons. Grit, determination, and the teachers showed love and patience." We have a theologian in the bunch as well. The faith in God doesn't just come to me in a lesson of Sunday school, but it builds up instead. Sometimes I wonder if God is doing this on purpose because I learn something from God every time, but I don't always learn about God. It's because God will bring more people, or people, angels, to tell kids more about things from God. So this proves to me that growing as Christ is all about you getting more and more knowledge about the things from God and not just from the classes. Is that an interesting distinction? About God or from God? And in light of Psalm 1, the young man who talked about facing our mortality and eternal life, these are 10-year-olds. I'm so excited about the future of the church. And all day I have been reading a poem that Joshua Costner wrote. I'm going to call him forward and actually have him read it. Joshua is a graduate, and I think You are going to read it from a book published with the poem in it, but let's enjoy.
This poem was inspired by C.S. Lewis's quote.
Since let's just stop right there. Oh, thank you. Sorry.
Since it is so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage. And then as I read the poem, you'll probably pick up that it was also heavily inspired by Dr. Seuss's rhythm and rhyme. I'm sorry, my child, the world is not kind, and sooner than later you'll be in a bind. You'll meet cruel people that delight in your pain, and one day your hope you will feel was in vain. But, my child, hear this and know, once upon a time was an age of heroes, where a group of outlaws in the Sherwood Forest fought against the rich in the name of the poorest. And in the court of King Arthur's knights were people who always for justice would fight. On quests they went with courage and heart. The mission was simple, tear evil apart. They had victories and setbacks, but what could one expect? Their grit was unrivaled, moral compass correct. But still they were challenged, good people often are, for people get jealous when there are brighter stars. The witches they came, on broomsticks they flew, screaming, "We will get you and your little dog too!" But a fearless young girl, with the help of her pooch, stood up to the witch and made her go poof. So, my child, when times are not good, look to the trees and think of Robin Hood. And when the world has got you gloomy and sad, I hope you'll remember Sir Galahad. I'm sorry, my child, for the world can be cruel. And somewhere, someday, you'll feel like a fool for believing in people and goodness and hope. But fear not, my child, you've still got more rope. For goodness has thrived and can come once again if all the people together would band. So take heart, my child, and look to the stars, and know that the heroes are never too far.
A young man with a very realistic view of life, and C.S. Lewis and Dr. Seuss. What a great combination. The last thing before the sermon is you should find on your seat a little card. And several weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, Andrew Lucen was here and he showed us this little life-death card and he sent us 3,000 copies of it. So if you'd like a whole bunch of them, we've got some. But it's very interesting. You hold it one way and it says life. You hold it the other way, it says death. Just like the 10-year-old said, life or death. And Psalm 1 is the initial psalm. It's the introduction to the psalms. It's not written by David, but it reminds us of what's really important. And before we say, well, that's the psalms, what about Jesus? I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus entered through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who will take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, but there are few who find it. So a theme throughout Old and New Testament, death and life. You've got to choose one or the other. We're uncomfortable with forced choices like that, aren't we? We wish there was some way we could sort of do what we want and still experience life and fulfillment and flourishing. But the psalmist says, and Jesus says, you've got to make a choice. Four times, this psalmist talks about the wicked. And he talks about the righteous. And John Stott, who's one of my heroes, kind of my Sir Galahad, a wonderful British preacher, says Psalm 1 can be summed up very, very succinctly. The righteous are blessed. The wicked are cursed. The righteous prosper. The wicked perish. Happy are those. Blessed are those. It's a hard week to talk about happiness, isn't it? With celebrity suicides. And several weeks ago, we had a teacher who talked about suicide among young people in Hong Kong. 10 young people in Hong Kong every day attempt suicide. There's a sadness. On a slightly lighter note, but not very much lighter, how many of you really enjoy your jobs? How many of you are happy at work? Okay, I see some hands. We may be above the average. But the Gallup poll's most recent survey, do you think 75% are happy in their jobs? 50%? 26%. 26%. And when they asked people, are you happy in general, the good news was it was higher, but only slightly higher. But we are all on a pursuit for happiness and blessing. But the psalmist says, you don't find happiness by searching for it. You find happiness by following God, and happiness is a byproduct. So the psalmist says, first of all, I've got some prohibitions, and then I've got some positive advice, and then I want to paint a word picture of what it means to be happy. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Most of us are more familiar, those who walk with the wicked, stand with the sinners, and sit with the scoffers. But there's a downward trend here. Again, I don't need a show of hands, but all of us have been in a discussion, right? And then the discussion becomes a debate. And then at one point, one of the persons says, I defy you. I am going to walk away from this. And I'm talking about families, right? Or workplace, or at school. And this downward trend is very evident in the New Testament. Jesus is being taken for trial. Peter follows after Jesus. He's talking to temple guards and temple employees. And he's like getting their counsel and advice, a discussion. And then it gets into a debate. And then he ends up defying Jesus. Fortunately, he repented. But this is a tragedy of life. And the psalmist says, don't get caught up in wickedness. Do not get caught up in sin. Do not get caught up in scoffing. Now, it's very important to say he is not a moralist. He's not saying, well, if you do this and do this and don't do this, then you're going to be righteous. No. It's very clear in both in the Old and the New Testaments that the only righteousness comes from God. But then he gives some positive pictures, some positive advice. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight. What do you delight in? It's not even an iPhone 10, but I delight in this thing. Yeah, I'm glad you're shaking your hands. Yeah. We delight in our intelligent phones, don't we? Day and night, we delight with it, in them. I was with my wife in a lift, and she started talking, and I rebuked Holly saying, hey, we're in a lift. We shouldn't talk. And she said, well, everyone else is on their iPhones. And she got everybody mad because sure enough, there's a whole bunch of people in a lift all on their phones. But what if we delighted in God's word? Now, I'm being really honest here. If I were preaching several weeks ago, I would feel a little bit of a hypocrite saying you need to delight in God's word. But some of you in the room, and we would love to have others of you join us, on Wednesdays are going through a study of the Psalms. And I am experiencing what the 10-year-old said about, it's not learning about God, but learning from God. And I can't think of any time in my life that I have felt God speaking to me through Scripture. Sometimes it's in our weakness that God's strength is made manifest, right? But I'm particularly teachable, and I am absolutely delighting in reading the Psalms. And besides delighting in the Bible, the psalmist said we should meditate on Scripture. Now, it's an interesting word, and we think kind of Eastern meditation, but stop for a second. Printing wasn't invented all that long ago in the scope of things, only 500 plus years. What did Christians and devout Jews do before the printing press, when there were very few copies of Scripture? You're not going to like the answer. They memorized. And when they memorized, they meditated. And they mumbled. That's another word for meditate. But an interesting word, which I'd never seen before I studied this week, the word plot. When the Old Testament talks about evil nations are plotting against God, it's that idea of planning and concrete. It's not just reading the Scriptures. It's not just thinking about them. It's also, how do I apply this to my life? If you do that, you will be happy and good things will happen. And now finally the picture. The picture is of a tree next to a flowing stream. And this tree is an image throughout Scripture. And running water, living water, remember John 15, the woman at the well, is also a theme of vitality. And that the tree doesn't grow itself, it receives nutrients. And he says three things about the person. You're like a tree in that you will produce fruit. The happiest people I know are people who have produced something. They've lived a life of significance. They've lived a fruitful, flourishing life. He goes on to say, not only are you fruitful in just the right season, it's not an instantaneous thing, but at just the right time, you will produce fruit, and your leaves will not wither. There will be a permanence. And in all they do, they prosper. Now, I'm not going to ask you, because we're running out of time, to define prosperity to the person next to you, but what really is prosperity? And some Christians, well-meaning Christians, say, well, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have health and happiness and wealth and all this and that. That's not what he's talking about here. There's a peculiar kind of prosperity that happens when we follow the Lord. And there's a happiness that comes from that. But then there's a contrast. There's a choice of righteousness, but then there's the choice of wickedness. The wickedness are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. I have to stop and say I'm really discouraged today at the other services, and I hope I can find some music lovers in this service. I mentioned the group Kansas, and everyone was like, oh, what are you talking about? And I mentioned the song Dust in the Wind, and like hardly, what are you talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? We could sing Dust in the Wind right now, right? All we are is dust in the wind. And that's what the wicked are. Dust in the wind. And the psalmist uses this painful example of chaff. You throw the wheat up in the air and the wheat comes down and all the impurities and the husks and the chaff blow away. John the Baptist, preparing for Jesus, says he is going to come and he is going to winnow you. And Jesus came, and we read in Matthew and Revelation that Jesus is going to come again and he is going to separate the wheat from the tares. There is going to be judgment. And the wicked are going to blow away. And the righteous are going to flourish. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Happy, blessed are the righteous. Cursed, perishing are the wicked. Wish the Bible wasn't that blunt, but it is, both in the Old and the New Testaments. We're called to make a choice. And as I have been hearing God from the Psalms, it's very clear what that choice is for me. And I think down deep, you know what that choice is for you. We'd like to sit on the sidelines, but we can't. We're sending out high school graduates and university graduates and out into a world that is very uncertain and, quite frankly, very unhappy and very messed up. But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Can't do it by ourselves. There was only one person who ever lived a completely righteous life. All the rest of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But just as these 10-year-olds reminded us, yes, we need to accept Jesus and learn about him, we need to face ourselves, our inner selves, our soul. St. Augustine, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Happiness, prosperity, blessing, purpose, permanence, all those are promises when we follow the Lord.